Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Chafchet. Today's daf has been sponsored by Mr. Eddie Shammer in honor of Mr. and Mrs. Ralph Hannon. Today's daf is being learnt Nefuah Shelema Rina Bat Rachel. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilui Nishmat Avraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem, Terechenu Began Eden. Amen. We are starting from the Mishnah on Daf Kav Zayin Amud Bet. Kol hayose min ha'etz, en madlikin bo, ela fishtam. Vechol hayose min ha'etz, eno mitpamet tum'at ohalim, ela fishtam. Our Mishnah gives us two dinim. The first din is anything that is a derivative from a tree. Kol hayosem in haaretz. Sometimes trees have in between their bark like woolly substances that can be made into wicks. The Mishnah is telling us a rule. Kol hayosem in haaretz. If it comes from the tree, en madlikin bo. You're not allowed to use them because the flame will not catch onto the wick well if it's derived from the tree. Ela pishtan. Except for pishtan. Except for flax. Now, the Gemara will tell us if flax is indeed a tree. We wouldn't understand that flax is a tree. So must be, is also considered etz. And that's why you need the Mishnah to tell me that even though it's etz, you still can use it. Because it's the exception from the rule. Rashi tells us examples of things that come from a tree that are pasul. He says, for example, kanbus, which is hemp, and semer gefen, which is cotton. Now, hard to understand why Rashi would refer to cotton as a yotze min ha'etz. Cotton is really not from a tree. It's more like a plant. Actually, that's Tosafot's question on Rashi. Why did you choose cotton as an example of a psul wick? Because it's yotze min ha'etz. Tosafot goes out of his way to say, on the contrary, that's a great wick. He says that we use cotton wicks. He says the cotton wick is a great wick and it's a great draw. So therefore, he says that kol hayose min ha'etz is actually referring to things that, like I explained earlier, that actually come from the tree, like wicks that are made from the substances that are come from the bark, etc. So those are not good, except for pishtan. So we have a machloket Rashi v'tosfot. If tzemer gefen, if ka'en is a legitimate wick for Shabbat, according to Rashi, tzemer gefen pasul. According to shitat tosfot, tzemer gefen kasher. The next din in the Mishnah, v'chol hayose min ha'etz, and anything that comes from the trees, eno metame tum'at ohalim, is not subject to the tum'ah that's called tum'at ohel, ela pishtan. Except if the tent is made of pishtan, which again, pishtan is linen, or flax. If it's made out of flax, the tent, then it is subject to what's called tum'at ohalim. Now what is tum'at ohalim? So let's read the Rashi together on the Mishnah. Eno metame tum'at ohalim. Im asa mihen ohel. If you made, let's say, from substances that come from the tree, if you made from it a tent, ve'hamet tahtav, and let's say there's a dead body underneath it, have kishar bayit, it has the status of a house, ve'en sarich lehatbil ha'ohel atzmo. You don't have to actually immerse the tent itself in the mikveh. Meaning, when you have, let's say, a house with a roof and you have a dead body in the house, so that creates an ohel. It creates a situation where the dead body is in a roofed area. The law is anything that's in the house, all the kelim, all the vessels will become tameh as a result. And if we have to immerse everything in the mikveh. The roof, however, of the house does not become tameh. The tent itself does not become tameh. the bayit remains tahor. So the chidush of the Mishnah is that kol ha-yotze min ha-etz, for that matter, anything that comes from trees, and you made a tent out of that substance, it itself can create an ohel. However, it itself will not become tameh, just like a house does not become tameh. The ohel itself does not receive tumah, except for pishtan. If you make an ohel out of pishtan, just like it can create tumah for everything that's underneath it, it becomes tameh itself. That's called tumat ohalim. Not that it can metame things under it. That's for certain. Anything can be used as an ohel. The hadush is the oil itself, if it's made out of pishtan, becomes subject to receiving tum'ah, and you have to immerse it in the mikveh, and you have to go through the purification. Now the Gemara is going to learn this from Pisukim. And the Gemara begins, Minalan de pishtan ikre etz. First of all, where do we have a pasuk that teaches us pishtan, flax, is called a tree? Because our Mishnah obviously is putting the flax in the tree family. Because the Mishnah said, kol ha-yoseh min ha-etz, anything that comes from a tree, en madlikim bo, except for pishtan. Implying that what? That even though pishtan comes from a tree, still it is kasher. So therefore, we have to see where pishtan is called a tree. So the Gemara says, "Midalan de pishtan ikri ha'etz." Where do you see that pishtan is called an ha'etz? Amar morzutra, de amar kera, because the pasuk says when Rahav Azona was hiding the spies that came into Eretz Yisrael in the times of Yehoshua ben Nun, it says, "Vehi ha'elatam hagaga," she brought them up to the roof. Vatitmenem, and she covered them befishte ha'etz, with the flax of the tree. So therefore you see in the Torah, pishtan is called etz, and therefore you might have thought, oh, it's etz, anything you have said in ha'etz, and madlikimbo. That's the Hadush of the Mishnah. No, even though pishtan is called etz, madlikimbo, because the flame catches good on it, and therefore it's considered a fine wick. Comes the Gemara further, והיוצא מן העץ אינו מטמא טומאת אוהלים אלא פשטן מנהלן. How do we know that פשטן, if a אוהל, if a tent is made out of פשטן, it becomes subject to טומאת אוהלים, meaning it itself will become טמא. How do we know that? מנהלן. אמר רבי אלעזר, גמר אוהל, אוהל Mimishkan. We have a gezerah shava from the word ohel by the laws of tumat ohel to the word ohel by the mishkan. Let's just see the gezerah shava first, where we see the common words, and then let's see what the derasha is. Ketiv hacha, it says by the laws of tumat ohel. Zot haTorah Adam kiyamut beohel. This is the Torah regarding somebody that dies in a tent. I'll finish the pasuk for you. Kol haba el ha'ohel v'chol asher ba'ohel yitmah shivat yamim. Everything under the tent and in the tent is going to be tameh 7 days, like the law of tumat mit. So that's the pasuk where we learn the din of tumat ohel. Zot haTorah Adam ki yamut be'ohel. Uchtiv atam, and it says by the mishkan vayifros et ha'ohel ala mishkan, and they spread the ohel, the tent, over the mishkan. So you see the word ohel is written by mishkan, and we see ohel written by tumat ohalim. Now what does this ohel teach us about? So we found a common word. So as an introduction, let's just review some facts about the mishkan. The mishkan, the tabernacle, as the Torah tells us, had three coverings over it. The first covering over the Mishkan, which draped over it, was called Mishkan. That was the name of the covering. Besides the larger tabernacle that's called Mishkan, Mishkan could also mean a covering, as we will see. That first covering of the Mishkan was made out of flax. It's actually Esed Yiriot Shesh Mozar. Shesh Mozar is material made out of flax. So we do see that there was a Ohel in the Mishkan that was made up of flax. The second covering was called Ohel. That Ohel was made up of Yiriot Izim, which is goat's hair. The third covering above that was called Mikseh, which we'll learn about that shortly. That was made out of the skins of animals. Orot Elim Me'od Damim, that was made up of the reddened skins of the rams, and Orot Tehashim, the skins of an animal called a Tahash, which we'll learn about. So just keep in mind, there's three levels of coverings of the Mishkan. Again, going from top to bottom, the top level is called the Mikseh, the second level is called the Ohel, and the bottom is called the Mishkan. Now, our Pasuk that's brought in our Gemara by Mishkan is Vayifros et ha-Ohel al ha-Mishkan. Now, Ohel we know is second level, so the Pasuk is telling us they put the Yiriot Izim, they put the goat's hair covering over the Mishkan, meaning over the Pishtan, over the Shesh Mozar. Now, the only question is, we're trying to prove over here that Pishtan, flax, is considered an Ohel. You don't see from this Pasuk that the flax is called an Ohel. You see that Yiriot Izim is called an Ohel. If anything, the Shesh Mozar, which is the flax, which is the Pishtan, it's called a Mishkan. So, where is the Dirashah, where is the Gezerah Shavah coming from? We're trying to prove that Pishtan is subject to Tumat Tohalim. Oh, where do we find Pishtan in the Mishkan? Well, it was on the Mishkan level. As the Pasuk says, V'yifros et ha'ohel ala Mishkan. Very nice. But you don't see from that Pasuk that the Mishkan is called an Ohel. We're looking for a Gezerat Shva, Ohel, Ohel, to tell me. Just like it says the word Ohel by Tum'at Tohalim. And you're telling me what? We have the word Ohel by Mishkan. And just like by Tum'at Tohalim, sometimes the Ohel itself becomes Tameh, so too by the which type of oil is that? We'll say it's Pishtan. How do we know? Because it says oil by Mishkan. Yeah, but that oil that's written by Mishkan is not talking about Pishtan. It's talking about goat's hair. So what is this Pasuk? How is this Pasuk the Raya? So Tosafot over here is very important. The end of the Tosafot tells us where he starts in the words V'tema. He writes, "The Amay lo yalif mehayd de Mishkan haynu yiriot shesh mozar kedichti ve'et haMishkan ta'ase uMishkan ikri ohel dichti et Mishkan ohel moed veshema ahay keras samich." Tosfot quotes us a pasuk which is also written in the construction of the Mishkan that says, "Et Mishkan ohel moed." Very important pasuk that teaches us that the Mishkan, meaning the first covering, is also called an Ohel. Because it says, Mishkan, Ohel Moed. So that Pasuk is integral for our Gemara. You have to know that Pasuk, that's what's telling you. Because now the Dirasha will go like this. Vayifros et ha-Ohel ala Mishkan. So we know that the Mishkan was what? Shesh Mozar, which is Pishtan. And we have another Pasuk that what tells us what? That the Mishkan is called Ohel. Why? Because it says, Et Mishkan Ohel Moed. And Tosfot says, our Gemara is probably relying on that Pasuk for this Dirasha. So that's how we come full circle. Again, the Pasuk is telling us, Vayifros et ha'ohel ala Mishkan. So now we know what? That one of the levels of the Mishkan was called Mishkan. And that was made out of Shesh Mozar, which we know is Pishtan. And we know from another Pasuk that what? That Mishkan is called Ohel. That means what? An Ohel of Pishtan is called an Ohel. And we know that by Tumat Tohalim it says the word Ohel. So therefore we can make a Gezerah Shavah. And we will learn that what? That Ohel of Pishtan will be subject to Tumat Ohalim. So with the benefit of that Tosafot is he just adds one extra step to the Derasha. With the Gezerat Shavah we have oil, but we don't need oil. We're not trying to find goats here. We're trying to find Pishtan, which is Shesh Mozar. So Tosafot throws in, you're right. All you see from this pasuk is Vayifrosh et ha'oil al ha'mishkan. That there was a oil over a level called Mishkan. That Mishkan covering was called Shesh Mozar, which is flax. Oh, how do you know that Mishkan is an oil? Oh, we have another pasuk that calls it an oil. Ah, now the Derasha is good.
Comes the Gemara and says, Ma le'alan shel Pishtan.
Just like over there by the Torah. It's talking about Pishtan. Karui oil, and it's called an oil. Afkan shel Pishtan. So too here by the Mishkan, it's called, we are talking about Pishtan. Karui oil, and it's called an oil.
Comes the Gemara and says, Ima le'alan shizurin. וחותן כפול וו אף כאן שזורים וחותן כפול וו.
Maybe you're going to tell me that only flax that are exactly like the ones in the Mishkan are subject to Tumat Ohalim. And what were they?
Well, first they were shizurin.
Shizurin means they were
twisted thread.
And they were twisted times six, kaful shesh, which means they took six threads and they twisted them together. That's the way they made the Shesh Mozar. That's why it's called Shesh Mozar. It's made of six and it's shazud. It's twisted together. So maybe you'll tell me, how do you know any Pishtan? Maybe only Pishtan exactly like the one in the Mishkan, that if you make an oil out of Shesh Mozar, that's already subject to Tumat Ohalim. How do you know regular Pishtan?
So the Gemara says, Tamud Lomar, because we have a Hiddush, Tamud Lomar, we have a teaching that says what? Oil, Riba.
Which means from the fact that it says Oil twice, so it's coming to include all Ohalim. Where does it say it?
Zot HaTorah Adam Ki Yamud Be'Oil, Kol Haba El HaOhel.
So by Tum'at Ohalim, it says the word Ohel twice. So what does that oil twice come to tell me? That not only the oil that's in the Mishkan, meaning Shazur, Kaful, Vav, but even regular Pishtan. Double oil teaches me that it doesn't have to be exactly like the Pishtan that was in the Mishkan.
So comes the Gemara and says, oil riba, oil riba. If you're telling me from the second oil, it's coming to include afilu kol milename.
So let it include everything. Why are you only including pishtan? Let it come to include all materials. Which means you're telling me oil, the second one's coming to include. What is it coming to include? Flax that wasn't twisted times six. Meaning it's coming to include regular flax. Why limit? Once you're telling me it's coming to include, Tamei is coming to include all materials that are subject to Tumat Ohalim.
So then was wait. Im ken gezerah shava may ahanile.
If you're going to do that, then what benefit did you get from the gezerah shava? The whole gezerah shava was to tell me that when it says oil, it's referring to flax. And now you're going to tell me, oil riba, it's everything. So the gezerah shava is out the window. Which means, obviously, there was a tradition to have a gezerah shava. So if you have this Gezerah Shavah, it's limiting it to what only? Pishtan, like it was in the Mishkan. To come along and say now, oil, the second oil is coming to include other materials, then what's the purpose of the Gezerah Shavah anymore? Then the Gezerah Shavah has no applicability.
So the Gemara says, Ve'ema, why don't we say, Ma le'alan tirashim, Afkan Kedashim,
which means in the Mishkan you also had the Kedashim. Kedashim were the boards that actually made up the wall of the Mishkan. So the Gemara is asking, why don't you say that just like in the Mishkan you had what's called Kedashim, and they were integral in making up the tent, because you cannot have a tent without walls. So therefore the assumption is that all the materials that make up the tent are called Ohel, And therefore, just like these wooden boards made out of cedar are, let's say, considered ohel, and therefore when the Torah says, Zot Torah Adam Ki Amut Be'ohel, let it even include an ohel made up of cedar wood. That also is subject to Tum'at ohel. Why are you only limiting it to Pishtan? So the Gemara says, Amar Kera, because the Pasuk says, Ve'asita Kerashim Lam Mishkan. It says, you shall make the Kerashim for the Mishkan. Implying that the Kerashim themselves are not called Mishkan. Kerashim are walls. It's made for the Mishkan. And the way the Gemara says that is, Mishkan Karui Mishkan. Which means, the covering, that first covering of Shesh Mozar, that Mishkan is called Mishkan. Meaning, it's not a covering for something else. No, it itself is called a Mishkan, which is a Ohel. So that's why we can include Pishtan. The En Kedashim Kiruim Mishkan. But the Kedashim are not called Mishkan. Adraba, it says you will make Kedashim for the Mishkan. So therefore, Kedashim are not considered Ohel. And since it's not considered Ohel, you cannot include it in the law of Tum'at Ohalim. So at this point, all we're including is the Pishtan, which is the Shesh Mozar. So that's obviously called an Ohel. Obviously, we're also going to include the Yiriot Ezim, because that was also an Ohel. That was, clearly the Torah calls that Ohel. That was the second level. We tried to include Kedashim. We said, no, that's not really considered an oil. As the Pasuk says, Ve'asita Kedashim Lam Mishkan. You're making it for the Mishkan, but it itself is not Mishkan. Ela Me'ata, according to this, Ve'asita Mikse La'ohel. It says you shall make a mikseh, a covering for the ohel. The ohel is the second covering made up of yidiyot ha'izim. What is the mikseh? The mikseh, we said, is the top level, which was made up of skins. So the pasuk says, Ve'asita mikseh la'ohel. Hachen ameh, here also, mikseh lo ikri ohel. If we're going to be consistent, just like you said, kedashim is not considered ohel. So to then, the mikseh is not going to be considered ohel. Because by the kedashim it says, v'asita kedashim la mishkan. And by the mikseh it says, v'asita mikseh la ohel. So therefore, it seems clearly from the way the Torah wrote it, that the yiriot, meaning the skins, are not considered an ohel for tumat ohalim. So the Gemara says, elaha deba'e rabbi el'azar. But wait. Rabbi Elazar had a question. What was Rabbi Elazar's question? Or behema teme'ah. If you have the skin of an animal that is teme'ah, which means, let's say, a non-kosher animal, teme'ah animal, and you took the skin of it, ma'u shiyitma be'ohel amit. Is it susceptible to tum'at ohel? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar, what was your question? Hashta or behema tehora lo metameh. If you're telling me that the skin of kosher animals is not metameh, or behema teme'ah mevaya, which means we know in the Mishkan they used tahor skins. For example, orot elim, the skins of a ram. A ram is a tahor animal. And we know that that was the top level of the Mishkan called the mikseh. And we know the pasuk says va'asita mikseh la ohel, implying that what? That just like you said, va'asita kedashim la mishkan, just like kedashim are not considered ohel, so too mikseh is not considered ohel. So therefore, that means a skin that's tahor is not subject to tum'at ohalim. So what does that mean? I'd have to ask a question. Does the skin of a tameh animal is subject to tumat ohalim? I mean, even a tahor is not subject. You're going to tell me or behema tameh is subject? Which means from the Mishkan, based on the way we're learning, if you're going to learn ba'asita mikseh la ohel, that you're telling me that the mikseh is not an ohel, that means or behema tehora, which means if it comes from a tahor species, it's not going to be subject because it's not called an Ohel. Oh, so Rabbi Azar, where did your question come in? If Tehorah is not subject, so why should Tehorah be subject to Tumato Alim? So comes the Gemara and says, Shani Ata. It's different by the Mishkan. Dehadar Ahadere Kira. Because the Pasuk repeats and says again, Dikhtiv, Venaseu et Yiriota Mishkan. It says the Levim are going to carry Yiriota Mishkan, the skins of the Mishkan. The et oil moed and the oil moed, the tent, mikseu, they're going to carry its cover, umikseh atahash asher alav, mikseu, its covering, umikseh atahash asher alav, and the covering of skin that's above it. So the Gemara says, makish elyon letachton. The pasuk here is making a connection between the top skin to the bottom skin. Ma tachton karui ohel, just like the bottom skin is called ohel, afelyon karui ohel. Now, let's read this pasuk. Let's read actually Rashi, and I'll tell you which skins we're talking about. Ma tachton. Ashte esrei yiriot izim, says there was goat's hair, that was inside the second level, that was called ohel. Le ohel ala mishkan. The Mishkan haynu esed yiriot mechubarot bekarsei zamin lemala mein oil yiriot izim ulmal em mechsei ahorot. Now she clearly tells you the order. On the bottom level you had the shesh mozar, on the second level you had the yiriot izim, on the higher level you had the skins. And what does the pasuk say here? It says v'nasiut yiriot mishkan, they will carry the yiriot mishkan ve'et oil moed, and they will carry the oil. Which means you're going to carry the mikseh, which is the second level, they're going to tell you, and what's on top. Which means the pasuk over here is comparing the two levels, the second level and the third level. Just like the second level is called ohel, yiriot izim, we know it's called ohel, like we learned above, it says vayifros ta ohel ala mishkan. So too, the third level is also called ohel. So there's the top level, which means you're right. Really, from the pasuk that says "Ve'asita yiriot la'mishkan," the fact that it says you'll make yiriot for the mishkan or for the ohel, it sounds like it's not considered an ohel. It's for the ohel, but it itself is not an ohel. But we have another pasuk. We have a pasuk that compares the yiriot of the mishkan, the leather part of it, to the second part of it. And we know just like the second part of it is called an ohel, so do the top part is called an ohel. That's called an ekesh. So it comes out at this point, pishtan is subject to tumato alim, yiriot that are tahor are subject to tumato alim, kirashim are not subject to tumato alim. That's what we come out from the sugya. And Rabbi Elazar had a question. Now his question makes sense. Rabbi Elazar's question is, fine, what about the skins of tameh animals? Which means, really you're telling me from the Mishkan, really you're telling me from the Mishkan that what? That tahor skins do receive tumah, because it's called oil. It's really not called oil directly, but from a hekesh, makish elyon tahton. Okay, fine. So now he's going to ask a question. What about Tameskins? Are they also subject to Tumato Alim? So comes to give it up further and says, Gufa, we have a statement that we learned above. Gufa, Ba'er Rabbi El-Azhar, Or Behema Teme'ah, the skin of a Tameh animal, Ma'u Shiyitma Tumato Halim. Is it going to be subject to tumat ohel? What's the question? Amar avada barahava. His question really is based on the following: tachash shehaya bimei Moshe kamebayale. One of the animals that Moshe used to make the skins of the covering of the Mishkan was called the tachash. So the Gemara wants to really know tamehaya or tahor haya. They want to know the status of this tachash. Was it tahor or was it tameh? If it was Tameh, then already you learn that what? Even the skins of Tameh animals are going to be subject to tumat oil. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yosef, my tivayle." Rav Yosef says, "What do you mean? What's your question?" Tanina, we learned lo kshiru lemdechet shamayim ela or behemah tehora bilvad. We have a statement that clearly says that when they were doing the melechet shamayim, the service of God, in the service of God, it's only permissible to use tahor things. And therefore the assumption is that this statement was referring to Mishkan. The Melechet Shamayim in this bright is referring to the construction of the Mishkan. And since it clearly says that Lo Shiru Ela Be'emah Teorah Bilvad, the Melechet Shamayim, so therefore the assumption is that the Tahash must have been pure. So Gemara says, Mativ Rababa brings a question. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shnei Mikhsaot Hayu. Echad shel orot elim me'od damim, ve'echad shel orot tehashim. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that there were actually four covers to the Mishkan. You had the Shesh Mosar on the bottom, which we called Mishkan. The second level, which was called Ohel, which is Yiriot Aizim, the goats. Then you had a third cover on top, which was made up of orot elim me'od damim. That was from the rams, the skins. And then on top of that you had Orot Tehashim. You had the skins of the Tahash. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nehemia Omer, Rabbi Nehemia says, no, Mikse Echad Haya. He says, Mikse Echad, no, it was made of one covering, meaning they weaved or they sewed the skins together. So you had part Orot Elim, part Orot Tehashim. It was just one long piece of covering that was attached. And Rabbi Nehemia continues, Vedome Kimin Tala Ilan. It was similar to the animal that is called Tala Ilan. Now that she says the Tala Ilan is a Hayatime'a, it's a Tameh animal, meaning it's not a from the pure species, it's Tameh, and it's all has spots on it, meaning it's colored. So you see clear that Nehemiah is telling you that the Tahash was like a Tala Ilan. And we know Tala Ilan is Tameha. So you have an opinion over here that clearly says the Tahash was Tameha. So the Gemara says, no. Veha Tala Ilan Tameh. Why? And the Gemara finishes its question by saying, and the Tala Ilan was Tameh. Well, no. Achi Kamar. Kimin Tala Ilan. It was like the Tala Ilan in that who Shiyesh Bo Givani Mardeh. That it was very colorful. So the Gemara and the Hanan just giving you an example. If you want to know what the Tahash looked like, in species it really was tahor, but it was like the Tala Ilan that it had a lot of colors. So the Gemara says, Velo Tala Ilan, but it wasn't a Tala Ilan. The Ilu Atam Tameh, because the Tala Ilan is Tameh. Ve'acha Tahor. By the Tahash is Tahor. Amar of Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Ihache. Now this Ihache is different than normal Ihache. Normally Ihache is a question. If so, this over Ihache that she tells us is, it's a proof. Yachya, bring your proof to this. Hainu de mitargeminan. If you look at the targum on the word tahash in the Torah, how does the targum explain the word tahash? Sasgona. What is sasgona? Meaning shesas begivanim herbe. It's a type of animal that is happy because of its many colors. Sas, meaning it's happy, it's proud. Begivanim herbe, with its multicolors. Now what does this prove to us? The way the Targum explains this animal called Tahash, he gives us a description of it. Now if it was the Tala Ilan, he could have just said its name, Tala Ilan. From the fact that he doesn't just tell us the name of the animal, he just tells us it's an animal that has a lot of colors to it, must be that it's not the Tala Ilan, and it's similar to it in the Wa'at, the fact that it has a lot of nice colors. So let's review at this point now. The Gemara had a question, actually Rabbi Elazar had a question. He wanted to know if the Or Behemat Teme'ah is subject to Tumat Ohalim. So the Gemara said, well, really that's going to be dependent on the Tahash of the Mishkan. If the Tahash of the Mishkan was Tameh, meaning from a Behemat Teme'ah, again, I don't want you to get confused. When I say Behemat Teme'ah, it doesn't mean it itself is Tameh yet. It comes from the species that's Tameh. But the question then is, when you put it on top of an ohel, will that become tameh from the mit that you're going to have to go dip it in the mikveh and immerse it, etc.? There's two tu'ot we're talking about. We're talking about the species of an animal that's tameh. We're talking about ritual contamination tum'ah from a mit. So if you say the tahash is tameh, then you have your proof. That we know that the tahash was in the mishkan. We know that it's called an ohel from the pasuk, that we compare the top covering to the second covering, therefore it'll be subject to tumat ohel. The Gemara says, impossible. The tahas was mean tahor. Why? Because we have a brayta that said in the Mishkan, or actually it says, for melechet shamayim, they only used pure things. We can assume the tahas was tahor. But what do you mean? If the Hanya said it was the tala ilan, and we know the tala ilan is not pure. Nah, it's like a tala ilan, but it's not a tala ilan. Meaning it's similar that it has colors like it. Just like the Targum explained, Sazgona. Comes the Gemara and says, Rava Amar. Rava said, Or behema teme'a, demetame be'ohel amet me'acha. Rava argues. Rava says, yes indeed, Or behemat teme'a is tameh be'ohel. Arguing on the statement that we just said above, he holds it is metameh. So the Gemara says, where do you know that from? Detanya, because we have a baraita. What does the baraita say? Baraita says, or. This word or is written by tum'at nega'im, which means by tzara'at, one of the things that receives tzara'at is skins. So it says in the pasuk or. Or be'or. But the pasuk has an extra word there. It doesn't say or, it says o be'or. From the extra word o, the rabbis learn and say what? Riba or behema teme'a. We come to tell us that not only tahor skins are subject to tumat nega'im, but even skins from a teme'a are also subject. Where do we know that from? Or be'or, from the extra. Now Tosfot just points out, because without that extra or, I wouldn't think that tameh skins are subject to nega'im, because you just told me tzemir. Tzemir u'pishtim. Now tzemir we know comes from a kosher animal, it comes from the sheep. So I would have thought, just like the tzemir is from a sheep, so to only skins from sheep and things like that are tahor. That's why the pasuk has to come and tell me, no, or be'or, to tell me that what? By tum'at nega'im, it's shayach even, or behema teme'a. Let's continue for a second. V'shelaka biyad kohen. The second thing that I learned from the extra word in the pasuk is that if the item became tameh after the kohen looked at it, which is normally the way tzara'at works, is you have a spot on the beged, let's say, they would take it to the kohen would look at it, he'd render and make a decision, yes or no, is it tahor, is it tameh? Now, the way the Torah writes it is, it seems that the tzara'at comes first, and then they show it to the kohen. But what about a case where you showed it to the kohen, and then he gave it to you back, and he said tahor, and then all of a sudden, that tzara'at turned dead. So that's called shelaka biyad kohen. That it became tameh after the kohen rendered a decision on it. So that's a chidush to tell me even such a case is subject to tumat tzara'at. Third case, katsatz mikulan. If let's say you took all the materials, tzemet, pishtim, all the different materials that are subject to tumat nega'im, ve'asa achat mehen, and you made one beged out of it, out of all these materials, minayin, how do you know it's also subject to the tumat nega'im? Tamud lomar, o bechol melechet or. So again, for the fact that all bechol melechet or, that you took any of the skins and you put them all together, it will be subject to tumat nega'im. Now for our purposes, we need to know that by nega'im, it's clear from this derasha that Rava is telling us, nega'im are subject to orot, teme'im are subject to nega'im. So Rava wants to make a hekesh and say like this, just like we find that by tumat nega, it's shayach by or tameh, So too by tum'at ohel, I'll say it's shayach by or tameh. I found by this two, there's two tumot. There's tumat negayim, there's tumat ohel. Once I find by one of the tumot that or behemat tameha is shayach, how do I know that from negayim or be'or from the extra word? Oh, so they just like or behemat tameha is becomes tameh to negayim over here. Apply it to tumat ohel. So comes the Gemara and says no. Le'ika le'mifrach. You could break that connection. You could break that mamatzinu. Why? Ma le'negayim shechen sheti va'erev tameh bahem. Which means we found the stringency by negayim. What's the stringency by negayim? We've learned this already. Negayim affect even strings. Even sheti va'erev. Now, that's a stringency because in Ohel HaMet, if let's say you have strings under the Ohel HaMet, the strings are not subject to Tum'at Ohel. So therefore, only Kelim, exactly. So therefore, you see a stringency by Negaim, so therefore, you can't say that whatever it is by Negaim will apply it to Ohel. Maybe Ohel is more, maybe Negaim is more stringent. Just like you see Tum'at, Sheti V'Erev, and therefore I'll say also Or Tameh. Therefore, just because you saw it by Nega does not mean you could learn it to Tum'at Ohel. So the Gemara says, fine, accept it. Ela Gemar Mesheratzim. Learn it from a different type of Tum'ah. From Tum'at Sheretz. Sheretz is like we learned, a rodent that's dead, certain rodents. The Torah says there's 8 rodents actually, Shemunah Sheratzim. If they die and they touch something, it becomes Tameh. So by Sheratzim it says, Detan Ya'or. Then it says, skins. Any ela or behemat teora. I only know or behemat teora. Or behemat teme'a minayin. How do I know or behemat teme'a subject to sheratzim? Tuma. Tamud lomar. Or. Extra word. Or. So now we'll make a mamatzinu. Just like I found by tumat sheratzim. That is applicability by or tameh. So to I'll say by tumat oel. Or tameh also becomes tameh as well. Kavanah says no. The ikal mifrak, you could break that one also. Why? Mal shiratzim shekin mitameein b'chadasha. Negaim shiratzim have a stringency. Negaim are able to mitameh something even if it's the size of a lentil, which is a very small size. Where by tumat oil, the corpse that's mitameh has to have at least a kezayit. Kezayit is bigger than a adasha, mighty olive. So therefore, you can't learn from sheretz to oil, because sheretz is more stringent than oil. You wanted to say, just like my sheretz, that what? We see that ortameh is subject to tumat sheratzim, so therefore say tumat oharim also. No! Sheratzim is more hamur. What's the chumrah of sheretz? Chumrah of sheretz, demetameh, kadasha. So the Gemara says, well, negaim yochihu. Now let's learn this technique over here. You tried to learn from negaim, you couldn't. Negaim has a humrah of sheti va'erev. So you tried to learn from sheratzim. Well, sheratzim has a humrah of hadashah. Well, hold it. Negaim will disprove that. Why? Because negaim don't have that stringency of hadashah. Because negaim, its tumah is on a bigger level. The tumah is of a gris. Which is bigger than and still what? Or tameh is metameh by negaim. So therefore, you thought the whole thing is what? Oh, should that seem as a stringency of adasha? I'll show you a case that doesn't have the stringency of adasha, and still has or tameh. So now the Gemara says the hazar adin, and now we'll go back and forth. You'll tell me, yeah, but negaim's got sheti va'erev. I said, well, yeah, but should that seem yochiyahu? Because should that seem doesn't have sheti va'erev, and still. It has tumah. So therefore now we're going to go back and forth. Ve'chazar ad-din lo re'izeh k'r'izeh ve'lo re'izeh k'r'izeh. Which means the stringencies that brought the law on this case are not similar to the stringencies that brought the law on this case. And therefore in such a scenario what we do is, instead of looking at what each one has different, this has adasha, this has sheti. We try to look at what they have in common. The Gemara says, let's look at the common denominator. Because if you're going to start picking the humrot, this has got one, this says a different one. Therefore, the chumrot obviously are not bringing the result. So let's see what they have in common. What do they have in common? She'or tameh bahem. Both are common. That what or is tameh bahem, which means just like by sheretz, so too by negahim. We have extra words to teach me. Or tameh is tameh. Ve'asa or behemat tameh ki or behemat teora. And there's no difference what type of or, whether it's from a behemat teora or from a behemat tameh tameh. Afani yavi oel amet she'or tameh bo ve'naaseh bo or behemat tameh ki or behemat teora. So the Gemara comes along and says, you can learn it from Imam Batsinu. Not from Nega'im or Shiratzim, but from both of them. Put Nega'im and Shiratzim together. And I'll say, well, what do these two things have in common? But we know Or, because the Torah says Or. Leather, skins are affected by Tumat Sheretz and Tumat Nega. And not only regular leather, but even Or, Tameh, because we have extra words, Or, etc. Also, I'll say it like this. Just like these two things are subject to Tum'ah. Ben be'or tahor, ben be'or tameh. I'll bring oil. Oil, I know, is subject. It says or. So I'll tell you, just like or over there was tameh and tahor, so tumeh also. Oil is or tameh as well. And therefore, I proved, Rava says, that or tameh. Now let's understand, what is or tameh? Meaning you made a roof from or tameh. Just to make it clear to you, you took, let's say, the skin of a camel. Camel is behemat tameah. You took the skin of a camel and you made a roof out of it. And there's a mat underneath it. Everything in the room, of course, under the oil becomes, that's for sure. The hadush is that the skin itself will also become tameh. So that's Rabbah. So comes out, we have a mahlokah at this point. One rabbi says, no, only or behemah tehorah. Because that's what we saw in the Mishkan that was called Ohel. But this Rabbi Rava says, no, we cannot even Or Behemah Temeah. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Rava mi Barnish le Rav Asher. Rava mi Barnish comes to Rav Asher and says, Ika le Mifrach. You can't learn from Shiratzim and Negaim. It's still not compatible. Why? מה להצד השווה שממשכן תמאין בפחות מכזיית? תאמר באמת שאינו מתמא אלא בכזיית. They both have a common stringency. Bottom line, they both bring tumah, נגעים and שרצים, less than a כזיית. Now you're right, שרצים is a עדשה, נגעים is a grease, but both those measurements are less than Tum'at Ohel. So therefore, these are stringent items. You can't learn from these strict things that have Tum'at on a small level, even a Hadashah or a Grease, and compare it to Tum'at Ohel that has Tum'at only at the Kizayat level. So Rabbah ben Banish knocks it out. He says, you can't learn it. It's not a legal Dirashah. So comes the Gemara and says, Ela, Amar Rabbah ben Banish. Rabbah ben Banish himself comes along and says, Atya be'kal v'chomer, I'll make a kal vachomer from goat's hair. What's the kal vachomer from goat's hair? She'en mitameh b'negaim. Because we know goat's hair is not subject to negaim. How do we know that? Because by negaim it clearly said, tzemer u'pishtim. We know, the only items that are tameh by negaim, as we learned, it's tzemer u'pishtim. So goat's hair is not affected by negaim. Metameh be'ohel amet. But it is metameh be'ohel amet. How do we know goat's hair is metameh be'ohel amet? Very good, from the Mishkan. Because the second covering was called ohel. And we know the ohel was made up of yiriot ezim. And therefore, it's called an ohel. And we made the gezerat shema ohel. So let's understand. Goat's hair is not subject to negaim, but it is subject to ohel. Or behemat tameah shemetameah benegaim. Or behemat tameah that we learn from the extra word or behor that is metameh benegaim. En odin shemetameah beohel amet. Or the more so it should be metameh beohel amet. Try to call the homer. Again, if God said that's not mitameh by negaim and is mitameh be oil, or behemat tameh that is mitameh be negaim, kavahomer it should be mitameh be oil. So that's Rabbah ben Barnish's proof to show you that Or Behemat Temea is subject to Tum'at oil. So now the Gemara has a question. Ve'lahad etani Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef had a question. Lo k'shiru. Ve'lahad etani Rabbi Yosef. But that which Rabbi Yosef taught us earlier in the Braita, there's going to be a question on this now. What's the question? Because Rabbi Yosef taught, Lo k'shiru b'mlechet shamayim, ela or behemat teora bilvad. Rabbi Yosef wrote a Braita that said, that when it came to melechet shamayim, to God's work, you only use tahor things. Lemay hilcheta. What is it coming to teach us? What's the nafkamina? I'll explain to you. We learned earlier that this statement was referring to the Mishkan. Melechet Shamayim over here was the melacha of the Mishkan. And what were we saying? That in the construction of the Mishkan, they only used tahor skins. Hadush. Now, what do I have to know that for, by the way? This is a historical fact, just to have information, you know, statistics. So that, when the Gemara gives us things like this, they have to have halachic implications. You should know the skins in the Mishkan. Oh, now, if you learn that, yeah, we're telling you a big hadush. We're telling you that Or Behema Tehora is subject to Tumat Ohel. Oh, that's a very, very important hadush. Which is, if I'm telling you that, what? You should know that the stuff that they use in the Mishkan, the Tahas, let's say, should know that that's Melechet Shamayim, that was Tahor stuff. And I know that that covering was called an Ohel, so therefore I'm going to know from the facts that are given to me that it's called an Ohel, and I know we have a Gezeras Sheva Ohel Ohel, so it's teaching me a very important thing, that Or from a Behemah, the Tehora, is subject to Tum'at Ohalim. Very nice. But if you're telling me that what? If you tell me everything is subject to Tum'at Ohalim, which means Or Behemah Tehora, Or Behemah Teme'ah. So what do you want to not come in? You tell me this was Tahor. But to tell me that it's subject to Tum'at Ohalim, everything is subject to Tum'at Ohalim. There's no nafkamina. Like, if you were learning, like we learned earlier, that only Or Behemah Tehora is subject. Okay. Oh, so that's what you're teaching me. That and the Melechet Shamayim in the Mishkan, they used it, the Tahaj. The Tahaj, you want to tell me, was indeed Tahor. Now you teach me a rule, and it's called an Ohel, and therefore, Or Behemah Tehora is subject to Tumat Tohalim. Zalka Baruch, very nice Hadush. But now you're telling me, Rabbah Bebardish, you're saying that everything is subject to Tumat Tohalim. Or Behemah Tehora, Or Behemah Teme'ah. Then you learn it, you have Pesukim, you have Kavah Omer, you have whatever. So now, what is your purpose to tell me what they did in the Mishkan, if it was Tahor or not? There's no halakha for me. Let's read Rashi. Let's see, get that inside. Elaha detani Rabbi Yosef. It is the fourth line down in Rashi. Elaha detani Rabbi Yosef. Kevan deravinan or behemat teora le'oel amet. Once already he included to me that even or behemat teme'ah is subject to tumat oil. Ha de tani Rabbi Yosef lemay hilcheta, may da hava. Or was. Ilav lemelaf minele tuma. Unless you're telling me this is a hadush for tuma. So the Gemara says, you thought that that statement, when it said lo shirun lemelechet shamayim ela or beemata, you thought that that was a reference to Mishkan. That wasn't talking about the Mishkan at all. Well, what was it talking about? Ela. Litfilin. I wasn't talking about the Mishkan. This statement was that when you make tefillin, you have to make sure that you only use skins from Or Behemah Tehora. We thought that that Melechet Shamayim pasuk was Melechet. We thought Melechet Shamayim means the Mishkan. So we had a question. We said, no, that Melechet Shamayim is not talking about the Mishkan. That Melechet Shamayim is telling you another idea. When you make tefillin, it's got to be made from a kosher animal. So comes the Gemara and says, "Tefillin behetya ketiv behu." What are you talking about? It's beferush pasuk of the Torah. Lema'an tiye Torah Hashem beficha. It says, in order that the Torah of Hashem will be in your mouth. That pasuk is written in the parasha of Tefillin. And what's the derasha the rabbis make? Min hamutar beficha. That we learn that its tefillin's got to be made out of something that's mutar for you to ingest. It's got to be something that you can literally eat, so to speak. Which has got to be, it's got to be from tahor. So I don't need a braita to come and tell me that when you make your tefillin, that the you know, the parchments have to be tahor. Well, of course, the parchments have to be tahor. So he goes, no. Ela le'oran, which is, we didn't mean the parchments. You're right. The parchments, the cloth itself, that's a pasuk. We're talking about the actual or itself, the leather, meaning the leather of the box of the tefillin. That we're telling you has to also come from, because there's a lot of parts of the tefillin. That's talking about the cloth itself, the parchment that you write on. Okay, very good. But what about the leather that the boxes are made out of? Oh, that's what's telling me. That what? Log shiru ela or tahor lemelechet shamayim. So the Gemara says, wait. V'amar Abaye shin shel tefillin halacha leMoshe miSinai. Which means, we know that on the box, let's say, of the shel rosh, you have to use the leather and etch out a letter shin, which is really from the name of God, Shin Dalid Yud. And therefore we know that that deen is what? That was a halakha Moshe Sinai. That the or of the tefillin has to have a sheen on it. So therefore, it's like klaf, which means, just like the klaf, where you're writing the tefillin has to be min amutar beficha. So therefore, it's obvious that the or itself... Actually, the way that she learns this question is a little different than the way I just said it. That she says, oh, it's coming to tell me that the or, that the or is, has to be... how come then in the statement it didn't say that? It should have said, log shiru b'mlechet shamayim ila or b'mad l'vat halakha l'moshe m'sinai. It's mashma that he didn't tell us this deen of. From the fact that he didn't mention in this braita halakha l'moshe m'sinai, it's mashma he was not referring to or, because the deen of the or is the deen of halakha l'moshe m'sinai. Look at that in Rashi. Look at Rashi, dibura matchil shin shel tefillin. Shia or nikbat, you make folds in the leather of the box of the tefillin, mibahutz on the outside, gimel kematim, three folds, vedome leshin, and it looks like a shin. And then she goes on to tell me about it. So an exheret kemin dalit, and on the tefillin shel yad, we make a letter dalit in the knot. The yesh ritzua kifufa kemin yud, and also we have a ritzua on the yad in the shape of a yud, we make a knot. So that would spell sheen. Dalet yud. I knew sheen dalet yud. Vechevan de'ot Hashem nechtav bekematim shelo. Which, what you're telling me that you have to write the name of God, so to speak, on the box itself. Shemutar befika ba'inan. Which means that's part of menamutar befika. Which means halakam Hashem just teaches me what? You got to put the sheen there. Once you tell me you have to put the sheen there, so then already, obviously it's going to have a deen of Torat Hashem Bevicha, because you're putting the sheen. And this statement over here didn't tell me anything, Halakha Moshem Sinai, didn't tell me, it just told me what? Rabbi Yosef, what the writer had said, Lok Shiru Lemlechet Shamayim. That cannot be coming to tell me the deen of the Oretz well, because I know that's Halakha Moshem Sinai. So Gemara says, Ela Lekorchan Besa'aran, Utofran begidan. You know what's telling me? When you wrap the tefillin, meaning the parchments, in the box, you have to wrap them to make sure that they're closed. How do you wrap them? Besaran. You have to wrap it in like hair. Where does that hair have to come from? Lo shiru elamekat shamayim. You have to come from a tahor animal. Utofran begidin. And also when you thread the tefillin to seal the box, it's got to have threading. Where does that threading come from? It's got to come from the sinew of a kosher animal. So that's what the statement meant. So the Gemara says, Hanameh halakha leMoshe miSinayu. So I'm sorry to tell you, but that also is a halakha leMoshe miSinai that has to come from tahor places. So therefore, you can't tell me that the statement of Lo Kshiru was coming to tell me the wrapping it in the hair, the stitching it in the tefillah, because that's halakha. We know that already. How do we know that? The Tanya, Braita. Tefillin mirubaot halakha al-Mashem Sinai. The fact that tefillin have to be square, that's halakha al-Mashem Sinai. Nichrachot besaran. The fact that you have to wrap it in its hair, meaning the hair from the taor animal. Vinit farot begidin, and you also sew the boxes together in the gidin, in the sinew, in the veins of the kosher animal. Also halakha al-Mashem Sinai. So now the question is, what was the statement teaching you? Let's review for a second. Was it talking about the klaf? No. Klaf, we know already. The Manti Ad Rosh Mevika. Is it talking about the boxes? No, we know that already. Since we know there has to be a sheen on it, so therefore already it's like the klaf itself, and therefore Turat Hashem Mevika. Oh, so must be talking about the covering it with the hair and the veins that you're stitching with. Now we also know that's halakha Moshe Mishinai. So what is this teaching you? Ela Litzuot. The straps. Straps. Hadush, the straps have to come from Or Behemat Teora. V'amar Rav Yitzhak Litzuot Shechorot Halakha Moshe Mishinai. We learned that the black straps are also Halakha Moshe Mishinai. So the Gemara says yes. Nehi de gemiri shechorot. Yes, black you learned halakha b'shem Sinai. Tehorot, he gemiri. But who told you tehorot? Would you halakha b'shem Sinai only told you what? Black strap. Did it tell me where the straps have to come from?
No.
Ela, who told me where the straps have to come from? The Braita. Lo kshiru l'mnechet shamayim. When it came to l'mnechet, reading the straps of the tefillin. Ela or be'mat teora bilvad. So therefore, we found an alternate learning of that Braita, and therefore there is nafkamina. For Mishkan, no nafkamina. Because when it comes to Or Behema Teora or Teme'a, it's subject to Tum'at Ohel. So what's the Nechet Shamayim over here? What was the Hadush? Hadush is a Tefillin. What do you mean? Tefillin is also obvious. No, it's not so obvious. Most of the things are obvious, but the Nitzot are not. Now, just one question from the Rekiva Eger on this Sugya. Kiva Ege has a question. He says, oh, very good. Kiva Ege asks, you asked me from the Sheen. So the Gemara could have answered, all right, the Hadush should have written this for the Shel Yad. Because on the Shel Yad, there is no Sheen. So tell me, the Hadush should have written that the Shel Yad box must also be made up of. And he leaves it in Sarikayun. He doesn't answer the question. So I saw brought down in Sefer Mishmeret HaMoed a very nice yeshuv. Once you see on the tefillin shel Rosh that you have to put a sheen on the side of it, what does that show you? That the boxes of the tefillin have a din of klaf. Which means, whether you write on the klaf or not, it's got a din of parchment. So therefore, even the box of the tefillin of shel Yad, even though you didn't write anything on it, but the shel Rosh reveals to us its status, and therefore, just like the klaf, you need to have minam mutar beficha. So too, it doesn't matter the shel rosh or the shel yad would have the same deen. So the Gemara had to come on to say what retsuot. So the Gemara continues and says, "May have ala detachash shehaya bime Moshe." Gemara says, what's the conclusion regarding the Tahash that was in the times of Moshe? Which means, once we just said, according to the last opinion of the Gemara, that it doesn't matter whether the skins are Tahor or whether the skins are Tameh, they're able to transmit and become affected by Tum'at Ohel. So therefore, now we're back, and the way we explained that statement in the Braita that said, Lo hukshiru b'mlechet shamayim ela or b'ema teora b'lvad, that wasn't said by the Mishkan, that was said by the straps of the tefillin. So therefore that means really in the Mishkan it could be they used things that were tameh. So we're back to the question then, what was the status of the tahash? Was it tahor or was it tameh? So comes Gemara and says, Amar Vilha, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Nakish, Omer Haya Rabbi Meir Tachash, Haya Bime Moshe, the Tachash animal that was in the times of Moshe, Rabbeinu Biriyah, Bifnei Atzma Haya, it was a creature on its own, it was unique. I mean, the rabbis cannot make a decision if it's from the wild, undomesticated animals, or if it comes from the domesticated animals. They didn't even know how to classify it, if it has a din of chaya or behema. But one thing they knew about it, and it had one horn on its forehead. And it was also, it appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu in his time, which means specifically for the time of the Mishkan, Ve'asa Mimenu Mishkan, V'nignaz, and then it became Nignaz hidden, which means we don't know where the Talmud is today. So the Gemara says, wait, Medekamar Keren Achat Haitalo B'mitzcho, why aren't you telling me that it had a horn? That was part of the statement. You told me that the Talmud had a horn, Shema Minat Tahoraya. I could already make an implication that it was Tahor. How? Just because it has a horn that makes it means it's Tahor. Damar of Yehuda, Shor Shekriv Adam Arishom. It says Adam Arishom brought a korban. And what was the korban that he brought? He brought a shor. And it says, Keren Achat Haitalo B'mitzcho. It had one horn on its side. Shnei Emar, the Pasuk says, V'titav LaHashem. And Adam praised Hashem, Mishor Par Makrin Mafris. Makrin comes from the word Keren. Keren is a horn, and mafris means that it had perasot, means its hoofs were split, which means we know it was kasher. So the Gemara says, wait, makrin tarte mashma. Makrin is mashma that it had two horns. How do you know it only had one horn? Amar of Nachman bar Yitzhak mekeren ketiv. If you look at the way the word is written in Tehillim, it's chaser yud, so you can read it mekeren. Now, once you see already that the horn, or one-horned animal, like the one Adam and Hishom brought, was kasher, obviously, because he brought it as a korban. So the assumption is that that's a sign of a kosher animal, that if it has a horn on it, that's a sign that it is kasher. Like the Gemara Nidah does write, that if it has a horn, then you know already it is mafris parsa, and therefore it is tahor. So therefore we can deduce that what? That the tahash that was in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu was pure, just like the animal of Adam and Hishom. So the Gemara says, Velifshot mineh demin behemahu. Once already you're telling me that it has a horn, now we can solve another dilemma. The rabbis did not know how to classify the tahash. Is it considered a behema or is it considered a chayah? The Gemara says, now we can classify it as a behema. Why? Keman di'ika keren. Because it has a horn. Why? Dimin hayahu velet le ela hada keren. Which means, the Gemara says, velifshot mina, let's deduce from here, or let's solve from here, dimin behemahu, Kevan Ika, I'm sorry, Demin Behemahu, that's where the question ends, question mark. Let's do something that is a mean Behemah. Why? Because the Behemoth have horns, and Hayot don't have horns. So therefore, once already you tell me that the Tachat had a horn, had a kid and finished, then already you know that
Behemah
must be a Behemah. Kevan Azono, Kevan Ika Kedesh. Since there's another type of animal called a keresh, dimin hayahu, and it is from the species called haya, veletle elachada keren, and it also has only one keren, one horn, ikalem emar min hayahu. I can say that it's a haya, which means we found one haya that has one horn also. So therefore, just because the tahash had a horn, it's not guaranteed that it's a behemah, because it could be like the keresh, it's a haya that also has one horn. So according to the maskana of the Gemara, at this point over here, the tahash also must be tahor, because we're comparing it to Adam Arishon. The only thing is, we don't know if it's a behemah or if it's a haya. Regarding or behemah teme'ah, that thing really we have a machloket in the Gemara. If or behemah teme'ah is tameh, meaning subject to tum'at ohel. Comes the Mishnah and says, petilat abeged. You have a wick that was made from a beged shekepela, that you folded it, meaning you took a garment and you folded it like you make wicks. You made it into a thin wick, velo hibhaba, but you did not singe it. Meaning in the olden days, in order to make the wick draw nicely so the fire will catch, they used to light it once, which was called hibhub, and then they would put it out. Now already that would make the wick more usable to catch the flame. So it says, "Petilat a beged." You have a wick from a beged. Shekepela, that you folded it, but you didn't singe it. The Bili Aizer Omer Temeahi. The Bili Aizer says that ketira can receive tumah, ve'emadlikim ba, and you're not allowed to use it on Shabbat. Rabbi Akiva omer tehorai, he says it's tehora umadlikim ba, and you can use it. So we see over here we have two subjects here. We have the deen of tumah ve'tahara, and we have the deen of hadlaka. Two separate deenim. Let's read Rashi on the Mishnah. Shekepela kegon shegodlin petilot. The same way that we fold the petilot, which is we make the wicks. That's the way you make wicks. You take a garment and you fold it up. Hibhaba ala shalhevet, which means by a flame. Kedesh shetem mechurechet, so it will be singed with tidlak yafeh, so it will light nicely. So what did we say in the name of Rabbi Eliezer? He said temeahi Rashi. The beged kelihu. That we know, let's say you have a beged of 3x3 etzba'ot, as we learned till now, it has the ability to receive tumah. So the hadush is, even though now this wick is not 3x3 etzba'ot, because you actually folded it up. So now, you might argue and say it lost its shi'ud of 3x3 etzba'ot. So the biri ezer's deen is kipul en mebatela mitorat beged. The folding does not negate it from negative the status of a garment. But bottom line, all you have to do is just unfold it. It's got the shi'ur. He agrees. If you made hibhub, once you singed it, finished. Now it's called a wick. Now it's not called a beged anymore. But just if you took a little garment, a 3x3, and you folded it up in the shape of a wick, it's still considered 3x3, it's ma'ot, and therefore teme'ah, meaning it's not that it's tameh, meaning it has the ability to receive tum'ah. Now the only question is, why emad lichimba? Which is, what does that got to do with not being able to use it as a light wick for Friday? Separate deen, the Gemara will explain that. Now obviously the Bi'akiva says tehorahi, so the Bi'akiva must hold that when you fold it into a wick, it takes it out of the status of a beged. Now it's considered a wick, even before you made hirhub. So we can understand the first machloket in the Mishnah. The machloket, if it's temeah or not, that's based on, do you say, does kipul mevatel the beged, or doesn't it mevatel the beged? And the Gemara says that. Bishlama le'anyan tum'ah. It's understood according to the law of tum'ah. Be'apeligi Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, Samar Rabbi Eliezer will hold kipul eno mo'il. The folding does not take it out of its status. Eno mo'il literally means it does not, how would you say mu'il?
That is that do not serve to negate, yani.
Okay, so see, he's telling you the opposite way. Yeah. It does not, mu'il means help. Yeah. But it does not help to take it out of a beged. That's what it means. But geez, it does not affect to take it out of the beged. And it stays in its original way. Its original way was what? A beged of 3x3. And Rabbi Akiva said, no, kipul mu'il. The kipul, the folding is effective, ubitule batil, and therefore it negates it from being a 3x3 garment, and therefore it's not subject to tumah. Ela lenyan hadlaka b'may pedigi. But now explain to me, the Gemara says, what's the machlok by hadlaka? Why does one say in madikimba to be the aizer, and Rabbi Akiva says madikimba? So to understand this, the Gemara is going to give us a few steps, which means it's not just black and white. Why? You have to know a few klalim, and once you get all the steps, then already you can figure out why one would say it's permissible and one it's not. So we start. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Hoshaya, v'chen Amar Rav Ada bar Ahava, hacha begimel al gimel mitzumtzamot askinan. Number one, fact number one. We're talking about wicks that came from a garment that were exactly 3x3 etzba'ot, meaning mitzumtzamot, precisely. Mm. Not extra. So they're precisely 3x3. Fact number two. Ubiyom tov shechal liyot erev Shabbat askinan. And we're talking about a specific case. We're not talking about using these wicks on a regular Friday night. On a regular Friday night, you can use them. We're discussing on a Friday that was Yom Tov. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the real question is, are you allowed to light these wicks on Yom Tov? That is the question in the Mishnah. Not on a regular. Mm-hmm. That's fact number two. Fact number three. Udiku le'alma, it lehud de Rabbi Yehuda. And all opinions hold like Rabbi Yehuda that says, ve'amar masikin bekelim. But on Yom Tov, you're allowed to throw kelim into the fire. Which is, if you have a regular garment, a regular keli, and you want to use it as fuel, a regular keli, it's not mukseh. It's a regular keli, it has a function, and therefore you're allowed to move it on Yom Tov. Once you're allowed to move the keli, you can also throw it into the fire if you use it as a fuel. Masikin bekelim. However, ve'en masikin b'shivre kelim. However, you're not allowed to use broken kelim that broke on Yom Tov. We're going to tell you how to add a vessel. The vessel was viable, went into Yom Tov, mutar, it's a vessel. It broke now. Now, its function changed. Now it's not a keli anymore. Now let's say it turns into a fuel. What are you going to use it for? Well, now once it changes its function or its purpose, now it's subject to a type of muset that's called nolad. Which means it's something that was not here before Yom Tov that came into Yom Tov. Nolad is one of the forms of mukseh. So everybody agrees, en masikin b'shivre kelim. You're not allowed to use shivre kelim. Not only are you allowed to use them, but you're not allowed to benefit from the flame of shivre kelim. So let's get the facts first, then we'll tie it up. Fact number one, the wicks over here are 3x3, it's ma'ot, mesum samot. Fact number two, we're talking about Erev Shabbat, that's Yom Tov. Fact number three, everybody says, En Masikin B'Shivrei Kelim. There's one more fact. Ulekule Alma, Eat Lehu De'ula. And they all hold of Ula. Ve'amar Ula, Hamadlik, Sarik Shiyadlik Berov HaYotze. When you light the Ner, Ula says that you have to light the wick, the majority of the wick you have to light. Which means like in the Bet HaMikdash, just like you had to keep the flame there until the majority of the wick lit. So when you pulled your hand back, it was able to rise on its own. So too, Ula says by Nerot Shabbat. Not enough just to light the top of the wick. You actually have to keep the Ner over there or the flame there until the rov that's coming out of the receptacle, the rov of that wick catches fire. Oh, the Bili Ezer Sabah. Now we go back to how this affects Shabbat, or how this affects when you're allowed to light it or not. Like we learned above, the Bili Ezer says the fact that you folded it does not take it out of a beged. So therefore it's considered 3x3. Now what's going to happen? A beged is considered a keli. What's going to happen the moment you light the wick? It's going to be now less than 3x3. And therefore, have you there shever keli? And now it turns into becoming a keli that broke on Yom Tov. V'chi kamadlik, v'shever keli kamadlik. And since you still have to keep your hand there, because you have to light the rov of the wick, so comes out you're ending up lighting from
shever keli.
You're lighting shever keli on Yom Tov, and therefore it's going to be azur. V'Rabbi Akiva Asabah, Rabbi Akiva says, no, kipul mo'il. Once you made it a wick, now it's not considered a beged anymore, which means it negated from the beged. And therefore it's not considered a keli, but that's considered a wick. Which means you're not lighting with a shivrei keli, you're lighting with a hand. It's like lighting a piece of wood. You're not to light wood on Yom Tov, therefore you're not to light a wick on Yom Tov. So Amar of Yosef, Hainu detanina. He says, now I understand what the braita was that said, Gimel al Gimel mitzum tzamot. There was a braita that said on this Mishnah, it's Gimel, there was a braita, I'm sorry, that just said, 3x3 etzba'ot, precise. So Rabbi Yosef says, I didn't know what that braita was talking about. What do you mean, 3x3 mitzum tzamot? What was the case? Velo yadana lemay hilcheta. I didn't know what's a halakha of 3x3. Now I know that braita when it said shalosh hashot mitzum samot, I know the application. It's talking about petilot that were 3x3 mitzum samot on Yom Tov and the machlok and the Bili Ezer and the Bi Akiva. If you're allowed to light it, the Bi Ezer says you can't light it. Why? Because you're going to light the second you light it. What's going to happen? It becomes less than 3x3. Now it becomes shivrei kelim, and you have to continue lighting it because you need the ola. Ola, so you have to have rov petila. So therefore, you end up lighting with shivrei kelim. That's already Mukseh on Yom Tov. You cannot do that. According to the Akiva, he says, no, it's a petila. Why? Because the kipul is mu'il to bevatel it from a beged. Therefore, it's not shivrei kelim. It's a etz. And therefore, it would be permissible. And then Rabbi Yosef says, now I understand the braita that said, give him it some sabot. Now I know what he was talking about. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. In the previous shiurim and the upcoming shiurim, we are